Okay, let us begin. Officially, we don't have a countdown because we're not going into the world. We are going into the world in our own sense, but we are not going into the world via the internet. Before we start, just let me make a comment. My comment is that lots of things stop over Christmas. Some people go away, some people invite kids, grandkids, special friends into their homes. Then we have tennis and cricket to watch on the telly. We've got books, our Christmas books to read. We've got walks to go to along the beach, whatever. Lots of different things. Then we start the year again. Sometimes in the middle of January, sometimes not until February. So we need to get together again. And then we have Australia Day on Friday. And maybe we need to think about the lyrics for this song as we think of that. The song is called May We Be One. Ah, see Rob Fudge, he has a deep little comment every now and again. May we be one. May we, all of us coming from different places, be one, bound in love together. Let's sing it. Standing up, let's go.
May we be one, bound in love forever, growing close together day by day, growing as God fills us with His life. We are joined in Him, He makes us one. May we be
song. Comfort, 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 comfort all my people with the comfort of my word. Speak it tender to my people. All your sins are taken away. Let's sing.
Comfort, comfort, everybody said, all my people with
Some notices. Next Friday is Australia Day. It's also our first Friday Friends for 2024. A chance to come here to our church on Friday morning between 10 and 11:30 to have a cuppa, some tasty special morning tea, and a chat. Most important is the chat. That's because we haven't got enough food, so sometimes you've got to fill your mouth with talk. No, we have got enough food, sorry. There just might be some other fun that we can also share to highlight Australia Day. There might be something special. You can come for all of the time or just part of the time to celebrate 2024 and to celebrate each other. What a chance. All welcome. And Creative Connection has their first catch-up and sign-up day on Thursday, the 1st of February. And then everything starts for Ernest, if Ernest is here. Oh, sorry. I got another book of dad jokes this year for Christmas. People keep on thinking that the ones I say are not good enough. And then everything starts on Thursday, the 8th of February. It's 9:30 to 11:30, Creative Connection on a Thursday morning. Something that our church does well. Many from the community appreciate the chance to chat and do craft, and then more chat. And then there's a break for a cuppa at 10:30. Chloe wants to say something special.
So last Sunday, if you know Jan Wartrip, she passed away, and she was my friend for a couple of years, and she was my neighbour. Then she moved into a place where she could live, so then she could look after herself with someone to help her. And then I heard about her and she passed away last Sunday, so I am quite sad. And if you want to give a present, you can give something to the charity, and we could maybe do a prayer today for her.
Thank you, Chloe. Jan and her husband David were part of this congregation, as some of you will remember, for a season of their journey. And as Chloe has said, Jan passed away last Sunday. Just so you know, and I'll get something put into the grapevine as well, but there will be a memorial service for Jan on the 9th of February at the Stables Christian Centre in Huntfield Heights. I haven't written down the time, I think it's 10:30 on that day. It's obvious that Jan, and probably David as well, had a great impact on Chloe and her journey, a significant kind of grandparental role without being a grandparent. But thank you again, Chloe, that was lovely, darling.
You're amazing. Good job. We're having a kid chat, or we're just going to keep on going? What do you reckon? We'll keep on going. Keep on going. We've got a song called Let Your Light Shine, one of my favourite Colin Buchanan songs, about light. I can remember going to Adair camp. In fact, I was on the committee for Adair, but I can remember going to Adair at one stage, and we went for a walk, and we were talking. This was a camp that I took. We were talking amongst the kids about how important the light is in an area like Victor Harbour, Port Elliot, rocks, etc., and things like that. It's amazing when it is darkness and you can only see that light. How brave those sailors back in the day, 1700s, the 1800s. Let's just go. So off they go, sailing, no motor if there's no water, if there's no wind. How brave. So let your light shine, let it be seen, let everybody see your love. Let's go. Here we go.
Let your light shine, let it be seen, let everybody see your love. Let your light shine, let it be seen, through the praise of the mighty God above. When you're feeling happy, when you're feeling sad, when things go well or when things go bad, let your light shine, let it be seen, let everybody see your love. Let your light shine, let it be seen, to the praise of the mighty God above. In the way you speak and in what you do, others might see the Lord in you. Let your light shine, let it be seen, let everybody see your love. Let your light shine, let it be seen, to the praise of the mighty God.
And again.
To the praise of the mighty God.
Once more with feeling.
To the praise of the mighty God above.
Beautiful. Amazing. Sharon.
Morning, everybody. Today's reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. Jesus begins his work. After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee and told the good news that comes from God. He said, "The time has come. God's kingdom will soon be here. Turn back to God and believe the good news." Jesus chooses four fishermen. As Jesus was walking along the shore of the Lake Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They were fishermen and were casting their nets into the lake. Jesus said to them, "Follow me. I will teach you to bring in people instead of fish." Right then, two brothers dropped their nets and went with him. Jesus walked on and soon saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in a boat mending their nets, and at once Jesus asked them to come with him. They left their father in the boat with the hired workers and went with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Please join me as we pray for others. Gracious Lord, as we journey through this new year, we rejoice in the depths of your love for us as we pray for others. As we continue to pray for our world, torn apart by division and strife, causing homelessness and much suffering for many people. To see the heartbreak of so many innocent people, we are dying, we are looking forward to results so that there are no more people need to be dying. Many who will never see their loved ones again. Lord, we pray, we cry out for peace as we pray for all victims of war. We pray you will continue to provide them with both physical and mental healing. And Lord, we pray for all peoples to know the peace that is found in you. And we pray for our homeland, Australia, for our governments, both federal and state, that wise decisions will be made to support those who find it difficult to make ends meet, due to the ever-increasing rents or on property or the opportunities to buy a house are rare. So those who need additional care due to illness or others with homelessness, etc. The list goes on and on as the poor struggle daily and try to make ends meet. Lord, sometimes we feel that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Lord, we pray for wise government decisions that give equality to all who call Australia home. And Lord, closer to home, we're concerned for the many families in the northern areas where there is so much rain. Queensland and Northern Territory especially have been badly affected by climate change recently, with raging floods and homelessness. Again, Lord, we put our trust in you and pray that their needs will be cared for, especially as it continues to rain. Keep them safe, Lord, we pray. And Lord, it's school holiday time, and a lot of people are travelling. We pray for safety on the roads and care in adventures, especially by the sea. And Lord, the news yesterday that a family have lost perhaps a dad, and we pray for those who wait to see if he is safe. Please watch over them at this hard time in their lives. And we pray that that people will arrive home safely due to care in all their adventures. And we pray for our church family, for all in leadership. Grant them wisdom as plans are made for the coming year. And Lord, we pray for members of our church recently hospitalised over Christmas and New Year. Pour out your healing power and grant them needed care and full recoveries. We pray that you'll guide us, that we will be encouraged to live your way, and that your spirit will enliven us as we grow, learning to work together. May others see your love shine through us. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer.
Father of heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're just going to take a moment whilst we're in prayer to pray for Jan Walkup's family and for those who loved her. Father God, we give you thanks for the life of Jan Walkup and for her love for her Saviour. We pray that she may truly now rest in the peace that is fully hers. And pray too, Lord, for her family, who will be missing her terribly. We pray for those who knew her closely, particularly Chloe and her family, and pray that they will remember a woman who loved you, who exuded peace and hope. And so in every way, Lord, we commit them to you and give you thanks again for her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is us coming together. That's what I said. Okay, if there was a word from all that Sharon was reading, there was a word that I picked up, mainly because Trevor rang me and said, the word is follow. So I thought we would sing Walking Down the Road, making a challenge. Let's walk down the road. Here we go.
You can't walk sitting down.
Yeah, that's right.
When the day has begun and the darkness is done and my eyes see the sky so blue, I put on my clothes and I'm ready to go.
Nowhere.
Walking down the road with you. So I'm walking down the road. With you. Yes, I'm walking down the road.
I trip, but my knees lose my way in the trees. So I'm walking down the road with you. Yes, I'm walking down the road, walking down the road, walking down the road with you. Yes, I'm walking down the road, walking down the road, walking down the road with you. You can see where to go, feel the wind as it blows. The day and the night time too. You know when to run, when to rest in the sun. So I'm walking down the road with you. So I'm walking down the road, walking down the road, walking down the road with you. Yes, I'm walking down the road, walking down the road, walking down the road with you. Oh, stay by my side, Jesus, you be my guide. Don't you know how I trust in you? Show me where I should go.
Pick me up
when I fall as I'm walking down the road with you.
Everybody sings it now.
So I'm walking down the road, walking down the road, walking down the road with you. Yes, I'm walking down the road.
They were walking down the road.
Loving Father, you call us to give everything to you. As disciples, we put you first. And so we bring our offerings as a mark of putting you first in our lives. Take these offerings we bring and take our lives that you might be glorified through them. Amen. I have to say, I love the song Comfort, Comfort. Partly because I love Isaiah 40, but partly because I love the E minor, S sharp minor, G minor, and back again run. Sorry. It was one of the first times I actually learnt a proper, you know, run down the guitar and back up again. I think that was one of the earliest ones I learnt it in. And so I really do like that song. Today we're talking about gone fishing. Why? Because that was the Bible reading, and at the start of the year, it's always good to reflect on being called by God. So would you pray with me? Loving Jesus, as you speak to us like you did to those fishermen, may we hear your call. As we are gathered here together, may we hear the gentle word of the Spirit speaking into our hearts. Amen. Now, tomorrow, my older daughter turns 37. That just seems incredible. I'm too young. I declare I'm too young. But of course, like all girls, when she was two and nearly three, she was incredibly cute.
And she's not now.
She's lovely now, but she's not cute. And, you know, before the Christmas of that year, so you do your maths and you can work it out if you want to. She was out the back playing in the dirt and I walked past. In fact, I walked past quite a few times over a couple of weeks and she said, "Daddy's going rodding." What? "Daddy's going rodding." What on earth is she talking about? Anyway, so come Christmas Day, got to watch out for the lights with yes, this thing.
And the fan.
"Daddy's going rodding." Okay? Gee, that's not that far from the fan. Lucky it's not the other one. That's longer. You know, she was telling me in no uncertain terms what was about to happen. Daddy was going to go rodding, surf rodding. She didn't get it quite right, but give her a break. She wasn't yet three. Okay? I didn't get it. I didn't hear it. I didn't respond to it. And so it was quite a surprise when I got a rod to go rodding. Yeah? We don't always listen very well. I'll leave that there for the minute. Jonah was somebody who didn't listen well. God called him to go to the people of Nineveh. And he didn't like the idea of that at all. And he didn't listen. And he got stroppy and told God where to go. Of course, I have never done that. I think we all have at times. But I think one of the important things to hear about the story of Jonah is that he got swallowed by a fish. Now, to you or I, we go, oh, yeah, that's not very pleasant, you know, being swallowed by a slimy fish. But you have to understand that the Jews were anything but a seafaring nation. And in fact, the very worst monster was the Leviathan from the deep. The very worst monster that you could have as a Jew was some giant sea creature. So, of course, what happens to Jonah? He gets swallowed by a giant sea creature, whether it was a fish or a whale, who knows? It was the worst nightmare for a Jew to be swallowed by a sea creature. So what's going on with Jonah when he's swallowed by a sea creature? Well, he's having his worst nightmare. So what does the story tell us? It tells us that if God's calling us and we don't listen, that what we go through is like our worst nightmare. To not listen to God is incredibly frustrating. Mind you, I think Jonah was just a grumpy old man anyway, because after he did go and preach to the people and they repented, he gets stroppy and goes and sits under a tree because, you know, God used him effectively and he was grumpy about that. Difficult man to please, I reckon. Difficult man to please. But you see, Jonah found out the hard way that when God calls us, the most effective thing we can do is respond enthusiastically. And I have to say, in my life, and I've learnt it the hard way, don't think that because I'm a minister, I'm all religious and I get this stuff all right all the time. No, I'm just a bloke being faithful to the best of my ability. But I mess it up all the time. And I have to say that the times that I've known that God's wanted me to do something and I haven't done it, I have been ill at ease, and significantly ill at ease. So the very first thing, the first fishing story, is about somebody who got caught by the fish rather than the other way around. Okay? The very first thing I want to say for us is, in thinking about the call of God on our lives, is that we need to learn from Jonah, not make his mistakes, and to respond enthusiastically. And we all know what pains new Christians are, don't we? You know, I remember when I was first a Christian and I wanted to tell everybody. Don't think Judy's here today. Judy Beams probably remembers, you know, a scary thought that. But I wanted to tell everybody, and I remember that I went to one of the ministers in the parish as it was then, and I told him all about it. And do you know what his response was? It's all right, you'll get over it. No, I still haven't. Maybe I'm slow to learn or something, but for me it's exciting that God would choose me. Now, sometimes it merges into the background, I'll admit. but to know that we are called and to respond to the call is one of the most amazing things. I used to know a lady called Jess McLennan who lived down at Largs Bay. And Jess, when she was over 70, but not very far, so she would have been 71 or 72, decided that, you know, her kids were all grown up and didn't need her. So she volunteered to go and be a house mother in an accommodation house for the children of missionaries that was in England somewhere. So off she goes at 72 to take on a whole new role. Pretty exciting, isn't it? But very satisfying. And for any of you who have answered a significant call for ministry, I am sure that you will have found it incredibly draining, but even more satisfying. So please, first thing, when we are called by God, respond enthusiastically. It's scary, you've got no idea what's coming, and most of the time you won't have any idea what's coming next anyway. But it's an incredible journey and well worth the effort. So if you get called to do a new thing, take the risk. So that's Jonah, and that's the end of that fishing rod in this. Got to put it back now without hitting anything. Gee, I'm glad I wasn't using that other one. That might have been just enough to get up to the fans. I want to talk about now Jesus walking along the shore of the lake. This is one of the very first acts of his ministry. It's early in Mark 1:14. That's kind of fairly early in the piece, isn't it? Not much happens before that. Early in his ministry, and it's the same in all of the Gospels, the very first thing Jesus does is he calls disciples. He calls people to follow him in various ways. And Matthew, of course, has a tax collector, a bit extra, and you know Luke does it. He tells the story of the being on the lakeside as well, but tells it slightly differently. And John has Philip and stuff under a tree. But there are all these stories about Jesus calling disciples. And it's really interesting because it's quite clear that one of the first things that Jesus does is he calls people around him in ministry. He sees that as essential to him doing his task. And so I don't believe we should be at all surprised that Jesus calls the church to ministry and the individually us as disciples, he calls us to ministry. And he calls us as part of a group. Because if Jesus himself needs a group, then I reckon there's a pretty good chance we do as well. Isn't there? So what I want you to think about is the fact that it is likely, in fact, I think it's certain, that God is calling you to minister in some way. Okay? The life of discipleship is not just a life of learning and service, it's a life of ministry. It's a life of reaching out to others in Jesus' name. And in fact, he says, go and do likewise at one point when speaking to the disciples about ministering. His expectation is that his disciples will be in ministry. And that is us, folks. His expectation is that we will be in ministry. There's no observers at church. If you want to come along and just see what's happening, you're in the wrong place. Okay? This is for participants. Christianity is not a spectator sport. And just like Steve Smith said the other day, he doesn't really like watching cricket. He wants to play. He said that Wednesday or something. Might have been last weekend. Can't remember, but it was in the last week or so. And I do note with interest that there are quite a few of the cricketers who have said that they don't like watching. They want to play. And we're called to be players, to be those who participate. Now, obviously, what you can do changes over the years. You know, I think that we are quite cautious about having 85-year-olds climb on the roof. When I was down at Adair year before last, they had a great win. They had an old guy, one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. But he was well into his 80s and he was still climbing on the roof. They finally talked him out of it and got a 72-year-old to climb on the roof. True story. Ian's over there nodding because he knows who I mean. Yeah, it changes. What you do at each age will be significant. But do not forget that Sarah had a baby. And how old was she?
100.
Well, she was well in her 90s, I think. I think 99 is what it says, isn't it? I think it's 99. But, you know, she's around 100. It's close enough. You know, and Abraham, well, he set out on a whole new journey in his 80s with his flocks and his family to go to a new place because the Lord had called him. So don't be surprised if it's a little unexpected what God calls you to. But the good thing is that whom God calls, he also equips. So expect for God to call you even if it's not exactly what you expect, because all of his people are called to be in ministry. The next thing is a word of encouragement. I've done the hard stuff now. We can get to the encouragement. The thing I want you to think about is that what does Jesus say to the first two? Come with me and I will make you, I will make you what? Fishers of men. They're fishermen. So what does he say? I'm going to make you fishers of men. He's using their gifts and skills and abilities. Or he's affirming them, even if he's not using them directly. I have a friend who's an accountant and a local preacher, and he very seldom goes on anything to do with finance in the church. You know, he says, I'm an accountant in my day-to-day life. I'm not going to be an accountant in the church. Well, you know what? Nurses nurse. Teachers teach. And that can be ministry. Ministers talk, and that's very seldom ministry. We do better when we listen. But whatever you are, and whatever your skills and gifts are, do not deny them. Do not be afraid of them. But seek to use them, because we hear from this story of Jesus calling those fishermen that he affirms their gifts, even if he transforms them. So whatever your giftedness is, take the chance for God to affirm your giftedness. Think about that. God affirms your giftedness and uses it for his glory. So for musicians, play.
Okay, if we have to.
Not right at this instant, but if you want to, you can. I'll speak over you. You know, for those of you who are good with IT, go and sit in the TARDIS. For those of you who are good around the grounds, go and do that. But for those of you who can listen with people or who can get alongside people who are hurting and that you do it relatively easily because you're gifted, then go and do it. Try and find the ways that God, that your skills can be used to glorify God. But once you start that, know that God will transform them and take you in new directions that you were never ready for. And enjoy the journey, because it can be fun, or at least fulfilling. So what do we hear as we look at the call of God on our lives? First of all, respond to the call. Don't be like Jonah and end up in a big fish of your own making. Remember that Jesus calls all discipleship to ministry of one sort or another. And remember that God affirms your gifts and skills. It's quite a simple message, really, isn't it? But it's one that we need to take on again and again and again. Every year, or probably more often, we need to review our service of our Lord. It's important that we give ourselves to Him afresh, for in that we are richer. Would you pray with me? Loving Lord Jesus, we love You. And we would serve You and honour You. Help us to consider this anew, to consider it with fresh heart and fresh eyes, that we may commit ourselves to serve You in this coming year. We thank You, Jesus, that You love us, and in return, we give of ourselves. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If any of you want some help to work that through, there will be people available down the front to pray with you at the end of the service. And I would encourage you, if you are considering that and are thinking about making a fresh start, and let me really encourage you to come and do it with somebody else. Because one of the things I know is that I need to be accountable. I have a supervisor and I have a prayer partner. And with them, I am accountable for my discipleship. Let me encourage you to be accountable to another, and to come and pray that you might take that journey with joy. Now those musicians who I said they should play.
Even the drummer? Drummers aren't musicians, you realise, are they?
Yes, they are.
I've got to explain the fact that Chloe didn't think it was boring. She had to go. We knew she had to go at 10 past. So she wasn't walking out on the sermon. She was going to a prior engagement. I was talking to her and she just went, in other words, she had her swinging costume underneath her t-shirt. This next song is a very simple song. It's sometimes called Christmas Blessing. It's sometimes called May the Feet of God Walk With You. But we will sing it, then we'll have the benediction, and then we'll sing it again. It's very simple, it's very easy, and it knocks you flat. Well, it knocks me flat anyway. Let's sing it, eh?
Jesus walked on the shore of his of the lake and invited the fishermen to walk with him. God invites you to walk with him this week. So as you go, may you know him walking by your side, whispering in your heart and embracing you with his love. Amen.
May the feet of God walk with you, and his hand hold you tight. May the eye of God rest on you, and his ear hear your cry.
Friday for Friday, friends.